What is the current law on solitary confinement or segregated custody here in Australia? I mean, in regards to who it can apply to, how it is employed, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, there's different guidelines and laws in each jurisdiction across Australia, but generally segregation is provided for across all jurisdictions, especially where the young person, and of course segregation also is provided for in adult prisons, but in youth detention where the young person poses a risk or is a risk to themselves, they can be segregated, and that term risk, and or you know otherwise referred to as threat or danger, has been employed very liberally in some respects. We saw in 2017 in the Northern Territory Royal Commission that segregation in dark, humid, very unhygienic cells was used very liberally and broadly, and had severe psychological impacts on those young people, both at the time but also well after the period of segregation.
What kind of impacts are we talking about?
Again, this is for everyone, that it has a deleterious mental health impact, but especially for young people who require the stimulation of external factors for their brain to develop. By denying that stimulation and keeping them in a very small, dark space where they, can't have any access to other human beings, can have a crippling effect on their cognitive and their emotional development.
For young offenders, just how widely practiced is it in Australian youth detention centres? I mean, do we really have a real inkling?
Well, the transparency inside detention centres is quite limited. There are some oversight bodies and there is some reporting, but, you know, the day-to-day decisions are not, I think, fully understood. And even when there are reports, it tends to be at a point in time. So we don't get a sense of, you know, how many young people are going in and out of these cells over, you know, a longer period. So any indication is a fairly narrow one. Again, if we can go back to the Royal Commission of the Northern Territory, because that did give us some exposure, we saw that young people were being put in segregation for the most minor transgressions. So it might be, for example, speaking back to a detention officer. It may be things such as not participating in an activity, or it may even be speaking in Aboriginal language, as the case might be there. So it was very discretionary. And as a result, in that detention population, you had periods where 10 to 15% of the young people were in segregation, which is, you know, a huge proportion. And there's no indication that in the Northern Territory that has abated. In fact, some of the early indications were that after the Royal Commission, it had got worse. And one of the factors that can lead to kids being segregated is that they question the system. And when there's unrest, because people feel they have no means to communicate and protect themselves, that is absolutely a factor that will, trigger interventions like segregation. My fear at the moment, especially with the coronavirus and people feeling worried that being in a small space is likely to increase their likelihood of infection, which it is, that there might be more unrest and the fallback might be to segregate. So we might be seeing more of it at this period.
Do we see any potential avenues of reform in regards to the laws around this issue?
I think the reforms that have taken place in the youth justice system. If we look at places like New South Wales have been to divert people from detention centres altogether, and in New South Wales it's been quite successful overall in doing that. It hasn't been successful for Aboriginal children who continue to be in youth detention at high rates. But the reforms haven't really been targeted to classification in youth detention, including for the purpose of segregation. So, for example, if you're classified as being high risk, you might be segregated completely, as you mentioned, for 22 or 23 hours a day. And that internal process hasn't had the same oversight. It continues to leave a lot of, I would say, power in the hands of individual officers rather than being, for example, like a court process where you have judicial overview. These are individual decisions made within, and the government hasn't sought to, you know, open up the process for those decisions to be reviewed. So, unfortunately, I don't think there has been the necessary reform. We might see, like I said, with this period of the coronavirus and, you know, move towards, you know, changing the prison system to make it safer, maybe this will be addressed, but it hasn't been a focus to date.
It would certainly be nice to see some good come out of this one. Thalia, thank you very much. Really do appreciate your time.
You take care, Sean.